11:01, hour number two of Cho and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. Joshua Lamont Vernier is apparently on his bachelor party, of which we just found out today. He just said he was going out of town on vacation. Did not know he was going on his bachelor party, and he didn't even tell us, let alone invite us. He'll be back on Monday, and I don't even know if I can look at him in his eyes anymore. Our relationship has taken a real turn. Steven Serta is producing this bad boy. We're going to have some fun today. Remember, your chance to win an MVP golf cart coming up in here later in this hour, so make sure you're staying on for that. So the biggest story concerning the Chiefs right now, Serta, is obviously the Tyreek Hill situation. He met with the NFL earlier this week. A lot of speculation on the fact that he may enter into training camp, and a lot of speculation that a decision on suspension could be handed out prior to him coming to training camp. And this is something the Chiefs want to know badly. But I don't think this point has been brought up that much, Serta, and if not at all, if not any. And tell me if I'm wrong or if you've thought this. But one of the things that could be helpful in this regard in terms of what his suspension could be for Tyreek Hill, and I think this is a positive for him, and that is the lack of star power that he has and the lack of star power of the Chiefs. Now, it is growing because Patrick Mahomes is becoming one of the top stars in the league. But still, Tyreek Hill is not a big name in the league and not a big star in the league, even though he is one of the best players in the league. And if you've heard me say, like, if I had to pick an offensive player that wasn't a quarterback, the number one person I would pick just in terms of on the field is Tyreek Hill, because everything he adds to special teams, and he's the closest thing that I've seen to the fear that a secondary and a coach defensively has to address since Randy Moss. When Randy's on the field, you just got to roll coverage deep and in a way that you have to do with Tyreek Hill. Can't just play a safety up in the box. Got to have somebody deep when he's out there. He's got that type of an impact. But his star power, Serta, is not anywhere. Like think of Antonio Brown, Serta. His star power is nowhere near to the point of Antonio Brown in terms of nationally people knowing him around the country. Like, his star power is nowhere near to that level. And for that regard, the Chiefs, even though we know them as one of the real great organizations, Lamar Hunt, but they're not up there like the Cowboys, the Packers, the Steelers, the Eagles, the Raiders, the Giants, like national brands where a lot of people pay attention to them outside of their own city. Now, they have a player who is emerging as that, but the team and Tyreek Hill aren't. I think that helps. I think that helps because I don't think there is going to be major backlash if the suspension isn't up to what par is. Now, I think there could be backlash if he gets zero games, but if they suspend him for four or two games, I don't think as many people around the country are focused on this story as we are here locally. I don't think it's as big of a story because I don't think he's as big a star. He's not the star that like Odell is. He's not that type of star. And I think that actually helps because I don't feel like the league will feel compelled that we got to make an example because more people are going to be watching this.
I do agree that he's not as big a star as Odell and Antonio Brown. And so maybe there isn't quite the mass national coverage on this that there should be.
You would agree, though. It's not anywhere near to what we're facing. Like, here locally, it is huge.
Yeah. Like if it was Odell, if it was Antonio Brown, it would be on NFL Network every day. It would be on ESPN every day.
They would be playing these recordings that we got from Channel 5 all the time.
It would be on First Take every morning.
There's sometimes
it would be on those shows every day if it was those particular players. So I agree with that. But what's a little bit different now, though, is with Tyreek Hill specifically, that there's internet, like national media websites, specifically, you know, like Mike Florio and Pro Football Talk, which has, you know, a few million followers. He has taken this up like as one of his causes. He speaks about this every time there is any little bit of news on it. And so I think there would be mass backlash, like if they came out and said he gets zero game suspension without knowing more of the details and stuff like that. I think there would be some backlash there. But yeah, it's not going to be the type of thing that you would see all over ESPN all day, every day for a week.
No, it's just and that actually works in the Chiefs' favor. Chiefs fans that want to see Tyreek Hill on the field as soon as possible. His lack of star power, even though he is one of the best players, the top five, I'd say, offensive players in the game, his star power, however, doesn't match to the point where people just care about it as much around the country. Like, I know people that I've talked to in Nashville. I know people I've talked to in other cities, friends that live in other cities, that it's not that big of a deal. It's not something that they hear about all the time. Had he played for the Cowboys, this would be like Ezekiel Elliott. You remember Zeke Elliott? And you could argue the things that he's being accused of are far more serious and with his history are far more serious than what Zeke Elliott was. And Zeke Elliott's was very serious, but that was a enormous story. You know how much bigger nationally that Zeke Elliott story is than this? Cause we didn't know, like Tyreek didn't go to Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, huge school.
Yeah, Zeke was a big deal before he even got into the NFL, and now he's the star of the most valuable, most popular franchise in the league.
Yeah, so I think that works on the behalf that the Chiefs are not one of the national brands like the Packers, Cowboys, Steelers, Eagles, where they have a lot of people in different cities across the country, and that the star power of Tyreek Hill is down. This is another one of these stories. I want to transition here, sort of. This is another one of these stories that we kind of talked about in our pre-show meeting, but haven't been able to get to. Thanks for letting you know what?
That you wanted to transition.
Do you have a problem with me saying I want to transition to this?
I just said, oh, why you told me.
I'm telling everybody. I'm not just telling you. I just said transition, and then I said your name because I'm talking to you. Good God almighty, man. I was rolling. I almost said Nashville, listener 73, but I stopped myself. Just other cities, other NFL cities. But we haven't got a chance to bring this onto the air. That big deal that came out about the Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, and them changing the wordage and not referring to their owners as owners anymore, but now they're governors or governors. Probably that's how you're supposed to say it, not governors. I don't know why. I just want to say it that way. But they're no longer going to be referred as owners. And listen, I want to be very sensitive in understanding why some of the players, especially some of the players of color in the league, feel the need of they shouldn't be referred to as owners. But this one to me feels like, Serta, this is just going too far. This is just one of those I feel like it is going too far in trying to change whatever. Because whether you call them an owner or a governor, it's still everything they do is the same. And we all know that when we say owner, most of us smart people know, not even smart people, we know that doesn't mean slave is at the front of it. Because that's where the point is getting to of like the feeling of being that looked at as you are an owner, like slave owner. They're not slave owners. They don't own the people. Just like whoever owns Intercom doesn't own me. I can quit. I could leave when I want to. Draymond Green can quit and he can retire and leave Golden State when he wants to. Like they own the building. that their team has played in. They own the television rights and stuff like that. I just feel like the owner thing, changing the wordage of that, is just one of those things that's just going too far. I remember Steven Jackson, a former NBA player, said it was a thing of pride when Michael Jordan became the first black owner. Or when, you know, that was a thing of pride. The changing of the term owner is not going to change what they do. And this just feels like to me, and there may be some people who disagree with me, this is just one where you're fighting too much on something. And it just, like, this is one where I'm a homeowner. When I became a homeowner, I'm not a home governor. That was a great moment for me. That was an amazing moment for me. All right, if there is some way where I can own some sort of build a company later and own a company like that, that would be a great thing for me. And it doesn't mean to me, I think the feeling of it is, all right, we're talking about the slave owner. That's the mentality. Like, are there some people in the league that may feel they have that? That's their, sure, there may be some people who may feel that way, but they're not slave owners. And when I see the name NBA owner, I think we know what it means. All right? So I just feel like this is one is just too far on it. There may be some people who disagree with me. 913, if the majority of the owners were black, this wouldn't even be an issue. I don't know. This one has just been... All right, guys, that's too much. Like, let's chill. Let's chill on that. So, I'm not a fan of this. I think I'm going to continue to call them owners. I mean, I'm going to continue to call Steve Ballmer the owner of the LA Clippers.
I mean, I don't have an issue with it. I understand the idea behind it, and I just think it's another one of those things where the NBA is just so much more progressive than every other sports entity out there. And I think that this is just another example of them proving it time and time
again. Yeah, and it's just an over-the-top thing to me. Be progressive and create more black owners. Like, let's be progressive in doing that. Like, that would be the progressive, like, to me. I mean, they're not. We know what an owner is. They're owners in everything. You own companies. Like, you can call them the chairman. Like, call Vince McMahon the chair. He's the owner of the WWE. Like, changing the, it's, that is something that just is too silly. Coming up, remember later on, your chance to win an MVP golf cart in this hour. I got really drunk last night. Serta, and I'm not going to lie to you, I've been really, really drunk the last 2 days. And I don't want to get into...
Why?
I don't want to get into politics.
Because you're upset about Vern not inviting you to Chicago?
No, I just found out about that. I don't want to get into a politics conversation. But I got really, really drunk watching the Democratic debates the last two nights. And I don't know, man, an hour into it, I'm not going to lie to you, Serta, the last two nights, I have just taken out a half a bottle of Kettle One. See, I may be still drunk now. I wasn't even drinking Kettle One. It was actually Absolute Lime, which is beautiful. Like, I taken out a half a bottle. I just found myself continuing drinking. And I'm up till 12 because I'm watching the post-game show for some reason.
Because of the future of the Democratic Party?
I don't know. Like, I watch it. I don't know. I've never watched debates and just gotten bombed. But I was like Trishel from The Real World, three sheets to the wind. I don't know, man. By hour two, I'm not lying. I was like four drinks in. And I got up to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, hell. Show's drunk. Just blasted. I don't even know how it happened. The last two nights, I have been ripped. And actually, to be honest, sir, I think that is how I am now moving forward going to watch the debates. Like, I'm just going to get hammered. And it, I mean, it was great. I stayed right up. I don't know what it was. Do you want an umbrella in that girl drink? It's a girl drink. It's lime infused vodka. And I drank it with water. So, come on now.
Hey, that sounds fine. I had.
Is that a girl drink?
I had a cucumber jalapeno margarita at dinner last night, and it was fantastic. I also drank several IPAs.
Show you need to switch to bourbon. I like bourbon, but I'm a vodka drinker. Bourbon's got a little bit more
calories too.
But I'm a vodka.
Tequila.
You're a tequila. You go to tequila?
Oh yeah, I drink tequila on the rocks sometimes.
Like that's your first drink.
I mean, well, I generally drink beer. More of a IPA guy myself, but if I am gonna go liquor, I like a nice tequila on the rocks with a fresh squeezed lime.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. My wife passed out sleep, and I'm bombed at this point, man. I am. When Kamala Harris started going in on Joe Biden, it was like a game. I came out of my seat because I'm just hammered. Whoa! Let's go! And I'm just like, whoa, what the hell? She goes, what are you doing? Woke up my kids almost, I think. I'm just blitzed. I'm just absolutely blitzed. So, yes, I would urge you to try it. I would urge you to try it. Can I get to this?
Getting drunk on Wednesdays and Thursdays?
If you want to do it specifically Wednesdays and Thursdays, but just next time there's a debate, just getting absolutely bombed on this. I wanted to touch this this real quick before we get out of break here. I saw this yesterday, and we had a really good conversation about this. The DeAndre Baker, cornerback, who many of the Chiefs fans wanted to look at and get him because I thought he's a real football player from Georgia. He goes to the Giants at the end of the first round, and I saw on Twitter, and he had a video, and he had bought his mom a brand new Bentley. Mom was crying, and I watched it, and the first thing I could think of was like, man, that's awesome. You know, God, I want to do that for my mom. And then I thought to myself, if I were DeAndre Baker and I bought my mom that car, she would, out of love, tell me, thank you so much, son, but let's take this back and let's get something else. Let's take this back and get smarter about this. Because if he bought her a Bentley, I don't know what he bought himself. And I understand it's coming from a place of love, but that's how a lot of young athletes, and we look at the NFL, we know most of those players going into league, 70%+ are young black kids. A lot of kids that you probably know that probably haven't been anywhere close to having that type of money. They go out, and I looked it up, Serta, his guaranteed money that he got is $5.5 million. That's not, when you're thinking about, like, that's a lot of money to us. Lord, I can settle in on that. But $5.5 million when you're buying Bentleys for mom, your place to stay, where you're going to live, I don't know what he bought himself. I would think it would be in the same area of a Bentley. I don't even know how much a Bentley costs right now. But, like.
No, I looked it up earlier. TMZ says that those particular styles generally range somewhere in the $200,000 range.
Yeah, I mean, me spending that $5 million can roll.
I was thinking like
fast
$80,000.
No,
I
know, no,
$200,000.
Yeah, those five. And I understand it's out of love and you want to do, but like I was thinking, I was like, if Little Show came to me and he got drafted or something like that, and he did that, I would hope, and this is my hope and prayer that I'm able to instill and help my kid to be able to make better decisions, because that is a decision that gets kids in a place, and young players in the NFL and young athletes in a place where they find themselves broke at the end. Because I know you want to do something great for your parent because they were there for you, and you could see the tears and the emotions, and it's a feeling that every kid wants to do for their family. But man, that like $5.5 million for what he's going to be living on, and there's no guarantee of what he could do and how long he's going to play, like that goes really, really fast. And those decisions there, like I thought about it. I know my mom would turn me down. I think I would turn my kid down too.
And if he, I saw somewhere that if he played out the entire contract and got the full $10 million or whatever,
You know, after the NFL.
After taxes, it's $6 million. And
but you know they don't get nobody. It's
and,
the guarantee.
You know, yeah, and you don't know if he's going to be a star player, if he's going to be fizzled out in 3 years.
Because it's different than when we saw Russell Wilson buy his mom that huge house after Russell Wilson signed for $140 million.
Yeah, that was after he became the highest paid quarterback in the league.
Player.
I think that it's dumb. I think that it was a dumb purchase, but I think that it was I think it's a kid who's never had money before and he wanted to do something for his mom. Now, I'm willing to bet that his mom probably would have been happy with a brand new $30,000 car. She probably doesn't need a brand new $200,000 car. But I'm also not going to criticize him for choosing to do what he wants to do with his own money. Like, is that a financially smart decision? No, I don't agree with that at all. But also, people need to understand that a lot of families, a lot of people that have never had money aren't growing up being taught how to manage money and
or
how
when
to
they
be financially
see $5 million.
And fiscally responsible. Like, they think $5 million, I could live off that for the rest of my life. Whereas most people who understand money and understand finances know $5 million, especially if you're spending it like that, is not going to last you the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was just, I watched that and I was like, I wonder what I would do if my son or my daughter came to me with that. And I would like, especially in that case, $5.5 million, let's start taking care of this right now. Like, man, you can give me a Camry or a truck, or hopefully I'm in a place where you don't need to get me a car, man. You know, just take care of you and put this stuff back.
I'll take a brand new 2019 Acura. You like Acuras or something?
Okay. As soon as we return, you have a chance to win another 4-pack of Robert Renew tickets as soon as we return.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in. You know what? Show is feeling real good right now. Show is feeling real good. This segment right now, I'm going to hook you up with a couple of things. Right now, caller number seven. Caller number 7, 913-576-7610. Caller number 7, your chance to win a 4-pack of Rivalry Renewed tickets. Right now, caller number 7, 913-576-7610. Fogs boys, the KU alums are going to take on the MU alums at Silverstein Eye Center's Arena on July 28th. It is the second Rivalry Renewed that has been done. The first one was really, really good last year. Kareem Rush, a big part of it. He'll be there as well. Ricky Paulding, Drew Gooden, other Kansas former KU alums will be there. Tickets are on sale now at SilversteinEyeCentersArena.com. So, caller number 7, your chance to win that. And here in about 10 minutes, I'm going to hook you up with a KC MVP golf card. You know, Vern leaves and disses us and doesn't tell us about his bachelor party or invite us there. I'm going to hook people up. I'm feeling good. Show's feeling good today.
I didn't invite him.
All right. You didn't need to be invited. This here, though, Serta, I'm going to try to help you here. And certainly, this might have been the most passionate thing you've given us all day in our production meeting. You are really into this NBA potential change and shortening of the season and gimmicky stuff that they're putting on the table. You were really up for this. And I'm going to have to be the adult in the room to help you with this because I don't understand why this got you so gung-ho. And it's never happen. It's not dope. It's not going to happen. And it is not cool. It's not cool. It isn't at all. And I believe that even when you were telling it, you didn't believe it either. I believe you just started sticking with it.
Because I think you're just stuck in the past, and you're scared to move forward into the future as they try to change the game and make it better for everybody.
All right, take the caller. Caller number 7, and I'll let Serta come in here and explain this ridiculous thing. Like, the NBA, for some reason, Serta believes, all right, they've come out with a potential idea or a proposal of shortening the NBA season, which, hey, if Adam Silver could pull that off, he'd be the best commissioner, maybe the best move a commissioner's ever done. I don't see owners giving up money in the NBA or any sports league to lessen games. But if Adam Silver was able to pull that off, now, fans, it would be better for the sport, and will make it more important in each game, more important. That's why the NFL is so great, because there's only 16 of them, and every game feels more important. If he's able to do that, that's one part of it. The other part that sort of this soccer-minded thing that is on the table is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, and there's no need for any of it.
They're the NBA to shorten the season from 82 games, which makes sense because nobody gives a damn about the NBA regular season.
Except they don't have a ratings problem with their big games. So, okay, but nobody gives a damn.
But it's more about Adam Silver. The NBA over the last several years has had a tanking problem. They have had a problem with star players being rested a significant amount of time, and especially an issue with star players who aren't playing even when healthy during primetime games.
I'm writing this down. The NBA has a tanking problem.
Adam Silver, being the brilliant commissioner that he is trying to come up with a solution to solve everybody's problems, to potentially help the players get more rest and not play such a grueling regular season game on top of a playoff system where they play a ton of games, especially if you're the Warriors and you're LeBron, who are going to multiple NBA finals and stuff like that. This shortens the regular season. They will have a mid-season cup soccer-style tournament to try to entice players to compete at the mid-season level when most teams are just gearing up for the All-Star break. And, you know, not really, you kind of know where your teams stand at that point in the NBA season. So a mid-season cup to try to entice them to keep it competitive. And who's not down for a single elimination tournament of any kind, especially in the NBA, as well as a postseason play-in tournament to get into the actual postseason in the NBA to keep teams from tanking? Who's not about that? Who's not about single elimination tournaments in the NBA NCAA tournament style? Who's not into that?
For a fake cup? A fake championship?
I mean, there'll be something to entice the players to care about it.
Like what? Money? The NBA players? No NBA players are enticed by money. They're making millions. And what do you mean this is going to get them into a play-in? What is the regular season? Isn't the regular season the play-in to get you into the playoffs? The NBA, Serta, is not...
And this was just a conference call. There's no formal plan in place. This was just something that they're brainstorming right now. They're trying to come up with new ideas. I'm in favor. I think it sounds amazing.
It doesn't. The NBA does not have an interest problem. The NBA doesn't have a money problem. The NBA doesn't have a ratings problem. Those Thursday night games do well. ESPN and their Sunday primetime games and their Saturday night primetime games do well. They don't need this. Baseball, hockey is struggling with how many people are interested in their games. The NBA doesn't have a problem with this. But, and you know they're not shrinking the games because the owners aren't going to get less money. If they could, that'd be amazing.
But Adam Silver is acknowledging that they could take a little bit of a hit on this by taking the less games, by making it a 58-game regular season. But the part of the plan that he is pitching is that these tournaments, these isolated tournaments, mid-year and end-of-the-year play-in tournament, are individual things that you can sell on their own as well. And over time, you will recoup any lost revenue that you lost by those regular season games, and over time, hope that those grow into something on their own that are bigger than those regular season games, which you put a postseason play-in tournament, somebody's going to pay for that. That's a lot more important than 14
but
extra,
you think
than
this is
22
going to make,
extra regular season games.
You think this is going to, one, make the Bulls and the Suns and the Timberwolves go harder in the season because there's some fake cup that they can win, and then you think this is going to make LeBron and Steph them going, oh, boy,
yes.
I'm enticed in the middle of the
yes.
season. Get
single
out of here, man.
With
they
these
don't
ultra
care.
Competitive NBA players, single elimination means anything is possible.
Sort of the only thing they give a care about.
I'm pretty
is
sure
the
Suns
NBA
beat the Warriors a couple of times last year.
But it doesn't matter.
In a single elimination tournament, the Suns could beat the Warriors.
To
the
win
Suns
what?
Could come out of nowhere.
To win what?
And win a cup. I don't know. A golden chalice.
Do you really believe this? Do
yes.
you really believe this yourself?
I am about it.
This isn't soccer. First, the NBA doesn't need this. They don't need a fake cup. As someone texted, what did I say to you from the 269? No listener number.
And
it sounds really gimmicky. The NBA doesn't need a gimmick.
I don't think the players care about the records as much as you think they do, because somebody says that'll affect records. I don't think the players care about that as much. LeBron would rather rest up, would rather play less meaningless regular season
LeBron
games.
LeBron does care about records. They do care about records.
No, I think at this point in his career, he would rather rest up those knees.
You tell me that.
He would rather chill and take time off of games
Russell
that don't mean anything.
Russell Westbrook doesn't care about records. He's been trying to – he's continuous to try to force himself to get triple-doubles year. They do care about records. This is never going to happen. It wouldn't help the sport, and there's no need for it. No need for it. A mid-season cup. Oh, let's play a mid-season cup so the Utah Jazz feel better. Or let's get it for the Kings. Yeah, the Kings, they're going to really show up. This is going to make people stop tanking. You're a beautiful young man. I just don't. You don't believe this is necessary or not. If you told
me, it might not be necessary. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be dope.
It's not dope. Even if you told me baseball maybe thought outside the box and tried something like this, that makes more sense. This isn't going to prevent teams from tanking. This isn't going to make the better players care more. Those guys won't sit. They won't play the cup. It's like sporting the U.S. Open Cup. Does that get more people? Let me stop because I don't know. It don't get me out there. I think it's always weird to hear in the middle of the season sporting is playing for some U.S. Cup. All right, caller number 11. Caller number 11, your chance to win an MVP golf card. The MVP card allows you to save big on rounds of golf in the Kansas City metro area. Courses like Adams Point, Heart of America Golf Academy, Swope Memorial, Minor Park, and Sycamore Ridge, just $99, gets you two rounds at each of the five of your favorite courses. That's $340 worth of golf that you're getting for $99. Get yours now at MVPGolfKC.com. Caller 6-5 and 4 bills. Poor show. You think with Uncle Vern gone, your show would get better, but Serta making sure that ain't going to happen. Yeah. Remember that on the report card later on, Serta. And I'll give him.
That person clearly just doesn't like basketball.
I give him this, man. You're so passionate about it, but good Lord, man. Good Lord. There's no need for it. Doesn't make any sense. Positive.
He doesn't want more single elimination game tournaments in basketball with the best players in the world.
Yeah, the reason why it works in a major way in college and in high school because you're playing for the ultimate prize at the end. Not the cup, not the Serta cup, not the Adam Silver cup at the end of it.
You're telling me if they had a 2-week-long single elimination tournament, you wouldn't find a Cinderella NBA team that you would fall in love with?
No, because it doesn't mean anything. They're not playing for the championship.
It does.
It doesn't. Just give me the All-Star game in the middle of the season. I'm good. This should be, when I heard this yesterday, when I heard Bob Fesco report that he had been tipped off that Tyreek Hill had good moments and did a good job in the meeting with the NFL, it immediately sort of made me think, well, the one thing that I think should have been of concern of how he and his representation would handle, the one thing that should have been of concern, he must have nailed. If the reports that Fesco are getting are accurate, he must have nailed. Because this, to me, would have been the one thing that you should have been worried about. I was listening to Therese Paylor and Charles Robinson, and they do their podcast on Yahoo Sports every single week. And they were talking about what Tyreek could face in the meeting with the NFL. And one of the things they said that stuck out to me, Serta, was they spoke about Ezekiel Elliott's meeting with the NFL. And they said one of the real issues that Ezekiel Elliott ran into was, hey, they just didn't believe a lot of what he was saying. They felt like he wasn't being completely upfront and accurate about the conversation that they were having, the things that happened. They felt like, I don't know how honest he's being with us. And Therese was saying on the podcast, hey, Tyreek's got to really be convincing to these guys. Tyreek has got to be to a place where when they finish meeting with him and his representation, that they believe what he's saying. And I think even the hardest guys who are ride or die for Tyreek understand there are some things in this case that you would think that the NFL went over with him that they wanted to know. There are some things where they were like, I want to know how Tyreek's going to explain this one to make it make sense, even with the evidence that he might have, and that helps him. And I'm guessing he must have been very convincing if what Bob was tipped off, because there are a couple of things that come to mind. Like, obviously, the big thing that I think really affects the talk of a suspension anyway is the "you should be terrified of me too" be that line. And I know many people are wondering how convincing he was and how he explained that one away. Or the text messages. You all have read those text messages. Even the ones who are really ride or die for Tyreek looked at those text messages and thought those text messages were probably a little bit too perfect. I wonder how convincing he was, how he explained that away. Other things in the case. And just judging by what Bob has said and what's been reported to Fesco, apparently that which was a problem for Ezekiel Elliott that made his suspension longer and it made the NFL really go after him harder, I'm guessing if it went well for Tyreek, he did a good job of convincing them. Because that sort of was a concern to me. Like that to me was a thought of, I wonder how he's going to explain away some of these things. How he's going to explain away some of the things that he said on the tape and the things that have happened. Like, hey, if it's her to blame, why are you still with her so often? And I'm guessing he had a good amount of evidence and convinced them in a major way, a much better way than Ezekiel Elliott. And I think when we hear whatever the decision is from the NFL and Roger Goodell, I think then we will know, all right, he must have did a really, really good job of convincing Roger Goodell and the rest of them about that. Because that was really telling to me when Therese and them said, yeah, man, they just didn't believe Zeke. They just didn't believe him, flat out. Just didn't believe anything he was saying was accurate. And I know there, and as soon as I heard that, I thought, okay, there's a couple things that I'm sure they're wondering with Tyreek. Hey, man, what's this about? Like, can you give me an explanation on this? And for Chiefs fans who are hoping he's on the field, if the report that the tip that Bob got is correct, you should be feeling pretty good about that, because that, to me, was the most daunting issue that he had to face in meeting with them. Being given the response that you gave me to this NBA thing, I'm a little nervous about this, but this ought to be great. Newsflash.
Serta's newsflash.
On the text line, you can add extra lottery balls. You could give teams a first-round bye in the actual postseason. If they win the midseason cup, they could be immune from having to play in the postseason play-in tournament. It's not the top teams. It's just the bottom feeders. Can't wait. LeBron James's pregame chalk toss was one of the coolest rituals in the NBA for several years. He abandoned the tradition in 2014, however, but according to James, the chalk toss may make a triumphant return this upcoming season. He replied to Timeless Sports on Twitter, an account that shares throwback photos, writing that the chalk toss may return this coming year until forever.
I miss it, be honest with you. I used to love it. At my old job, when I would walk to the receptionist, this is when I was really an ass.
Chalk in her face?
No. She had a bunch of visitors, like stickers, in a basket. And I would just go up to the receptionist and do the entire LeBron routine and then take the visitor stickers and just toss them all in the air and then just bounce. Oh, she would be so mad. I got her like the first three times and then she just ripped down and took them from underneath so I couldn't do it.
You didn't even like pick them up for her?
No, I just did. I told you, I let it off by saying I was being a real ass at the time. But yeah, I did. By the way, if you're building and hoping the text line is supportive of you, someone from the 785 with no listener number literally text this in. What's the Big 12 championship then? It's not for a championship per se. No, it is. It's for the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, but nobody cares about the tournament championship. We still make a big deal about it.
Oh, we don't care about the tournament championship.
No.
We don't. No, it does.
It automatically, gets
you into the tournament.
Yeah, but how often does that help someone in the Big 12? Generally, the team that wins it in the Big 12 is already going to the
NCAA
tournament.
But you're saying the tournament doesn't matter.
Those tournaments matter for small conferences. That doesn't make a difference in the Big 12.
Yes, it matters.
The team that wins a Big 12 championship, the tournament championship, is generally going to the NCAA tournament anyway.
Yeah, but not the start of the tournament. Everybody has a chance to get in. TCU could have won it and got in. And of course
they
care about
that happening to the Big
12. They get rings for being champions. Who gives a crap about the
I bet you'll get a ring for this midseason cup.
Oh, my God. What, a pinky one?
A Big 12 championship.
Yes, the Big 12 championship is a
big day today. Avengers Endgame needs $36 million to break the final worldwide gross of Avatar, the highest-earning movie in box office history. This is the re-release. I'm going to try to go see it this weekend. I don't know if I'll have time because I'll be out of town.
You just wanted to talk about this
yourself. Yes, they only need $36 million. Big re-release. There's an extra post-credit scene. There's supposed to be a tribute to Stan Lee. Post-credit scene might have something to do with the Hulk. We don't really know yet. There's also a deleted scene being added to the movie. And there's a free special edition poster. I got to get one of those posters. I think I'm going to head out when I leave here because I got to go somewhere and then I got to go out of town. I think I'm going to just swing by a movie theater, pay for a ticket so I can get a poster and then leave. And then I'll go see the movie again later this week for time number 6. We're going to break that record, baby.
So that's why you told me you had to leave immediately after the show?
Well, I've got other things to do, but that's part of it.
No, you told me, hey, man, I got to leave immediately after the show. We can't meet or anything because you want to go to get a poster?
Because I have to go do that and then go out of town. But I've got errands to run. I got to go home, get my suitcase, get my suit.
I honestly don't know how people expect for me to work in these conditions. Yesterday, we wanted to meet after the show. You stood around and said, "Oh, I can't. I've got to do something. I've got to do my podcast." And
I then had you to record my podcast.
But then you literally stood around for 5 to 7 minutes just talking.
Yeah, we were meeting.
I believe this is probably the case for the 913. Serta is probably going to Vern's bachelor party.
I am catching the train. It only takes 8 hours.
Yeah, you ain't got that kind of cash. So I know you're not doing that. I know you're not doing that.
All right. I'll just say this for the tease, folks. One of us believes that Tyreek Hill should walk right into Roger Goodell's office and offer up an idea of just taking himself, volunteering a 4-game suspension. One of us believes that.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.